Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. While many have not considered it so, negligence is one of the more prominently committed sins of our time. Yes, friend, it is a sin that literally saps the life out of the church. Cursed be he that doeth the word of the Lord deceitfully. The American Standard Version says negligently. And cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Jeremiah 48 and verse 10. The Hebrew writer asks, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Hebrews 2 and verse 3. Timothy was admonished by Paul, neglect not the gift that is in thee. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14. To be guilty of negligence is to be guilty of carelessness of the worst kind. It means to omit what ought to be done, showing disregard for what is needful, slighting and leaving undone that which God expects. Now this matter under consideration is precisely what James was writing when he said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4 and verse 17. We must first be aroused to accept the possibility, friend, that we can neglect our duty. We must appreciate the seriousness of it. When a soldier neglects his duty, he is severely punished. And we are in the army of the Lord, and we have serious duties of eternal consequence. And while we pray for the Lord to forgive us of our sins of commission and omission, we may pray in vain if we deliberately repeat the sin of neglect, making no effort to do what we have left undone. The Scriptures warn Christians to be doers, not merely hearers of the Word. James 1 and verse 22. We need to be impressed with the danger of neglect. We likely do consider neglect dangerous in some matters, but have not realized the danger of neglect in spiritual matters. We know we ought not neglect our health. We're constantly being encouraged to have checkups, and many are faithful in that. And when we get sick, we do not neglect treatment lest the illness get out of hand. The forest ranger would be punished, in fact he would lose his job, if he saw a small fire in the woods but neglected to report it. If duty is neglected, there will come a time when it is too late to be constructive. To postpone the repair of the brakes on your car for too long will cause an accident that you can't undo. How many parents have seen their sons sentenced before the judge to imprisonment or worse who cry, what did I do wrong? And very likely, the problem is what the parent did not do at all that should have been done. A preacher friend once told me of some parents who were distressed that their children had no concern for the church. They never cursed before their children. They didn't lie to their children. The parents minded their own business. They were not in trouble with civil authorities. But upon further investigation also, it showed that they seldom knew where their children were. They didn't know who were their friends. They did not pray with them at home. They did not worship together faithfully. They neglected teaching their children God's word. What they did not do was fine, as far as it went. But they neglected doing what was needed. One of the greatest neglects of our nation is parental neglect and the absence of spiritual guidance in the home. Parental neglect is one of the prime causes for juvenile delinquency. Mothers are away from home, attending to everything else except the home and the family. Children are left without parental love and guidance. The generation of children reared by babysitters and daycare nurseries while parents do their own thing has just about wrecked the moral level of society. Now, babysitting is not wrong in itself, but it has been overused and therefore abused. The evil rises out of the willingness of some parents to turn their God-given duty over to somebody else. A juvenile judge once reported that out of some 8 to 10,000 cases that had appeared before him, less than 20 regularly attended Bible study classes with their parents. In fact, only 3 were in trouble from homes where both parents and the entire family regularly attended Bible study and worship. In an age so provoked and seduced to sin, Why can't parents get their stubborn eyes open to see what they're doing to their own children by neglect? Which do you consider the worst? Is it the farmer who takes a hammer and destroys a piece of machinery? Or the one who allows it to rust in the elements and does not take care of it? Do not both accomplish the same destruction? Is a parent less guilty who would murder his child than the one who would neglect the child and allow him to starve to death through neglect? Do you not see how damaging neglect can be? And God's attitude toward neglect is quite evident from the passages we read at the start of the lesson. When Israel neglected their worship, their sacrifices, their feast, and their tithes, God allowed enemy nations to overpower them. In the parable of the talents, that's an outstanding teaching of neglect. One servant was sorely rebuked, not because he had transgressed anything, not because he had wasted his talent. He was guilty of not doing anything. He did not do what he should have done. Therefore, he was called wicked and slothful, and had the one talent that he had taken away from him. Consider the foolish virgins in the same 25th chapter of Matthew. They did not curse the bridegroom. No sin of commission was laid to their charge. They simply neglected to make adequate preparation, and in their haste to try to catch up, they were excluded from the feast. One of the most striking accounts is the judgment scene of Matthew 25. Those that heard the words of welcome were those who had done what they should have done. And those to whom the word depart was given, they were not accused of theft or lying or adultery and such as that. They had neglected to do what they ought to have done. Is this not impressive evidence of God's attitude towards spiritual neglect? There is likely not one of us who cannot relate to this lesson and make application of it. Have we pursued our Bible study as we ought, and maybe even as we intended, but we neglected it? Are we faithful in worship, or has this been a point of negligence also? Have we neglected the righteous management of our home and the training of our young? Are there good deeds that we have planned to do, but we keep shoving into the background? Are we not guilty of neglect? What of that sorrowing neighbor that we plan to comfort? What of the encouragement that we ought to offer somebody? When do you make that visit to the sick and the elderly and the unfaithful brother or sister? Is it not likely that we really have more opportunities to do good and bring glory to the name of God the Father than we ever use? For some excuse or another, we persist in neglecting to do what we can and ought to do. And this can become a disaster to us. Let us be persuaded, so we will not neglect salvation. We cannot earn salvation. We cannot work our way to heaven apart from the grace of God and the blood of Christ. But we are expected to do certain things. And how can we expect to see God in all of His glory if we content ourselves to simply disobey through neglect? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.